Khan very much for coming to address us today. It's really a very big plus to have the opportunity to hear from him, as you'll see in just a moment. And Khan is one of the most wise and perhaps underutilized of all of the Rosh Yeshiva here. And anything I say is really going to be inappropriate. So, without further ado, I want to thank Rav Khan, and we're very fortunate to be able to hear from you.
You're very fortunate to have such a vein. I can tell you that much. The only thing that they don't have is a long white beard, so they bring me in once in a while. You know, I'm assuming maybe I should not have made that mistake, but that we are all learning Kiddushin?
Yes.
Okay. Should have asked first. Well, there's a Mishnah in Kiddushin that we all know by now, at least. Aisha Niknes, and everyone knows. The Gemara Masechet Yevamos Daf Samach Bei Samach Gimel, which speaks about all the milas of a woman and what she does for her husband. And the Gemara says, Kama Toiva Isha Toiva. Because the Pasuk says, Matzah Isha Matzah Toiv. Person finds a wife, he finds good. So good in the abstract, good in the concrete. The blessing of good. Matzah Toiv. And then, since this is a Mishlei kind of pasuk, so it could be that it's not speaking about a wife, but it's speaking about Torah, says the Gemara. Well, if it's speaking about Torah, still you can't forget about the Mashal. Kama toiva isha toiva shah Torah nimshal ava. So the bottom line is that the Gemara learns that matzah isha matzah toiv refers to Torah. And if Torah is compared to an Isha, by the way, if any of you are interested, I wrote a kuntras of about 100 pages on this issue of how you compare an Isha to Torah, and you're more than welcome to have it. I can send it to you as a PDF if you so desire. Just ask Rabbi Willie, he has my email. Isha Niknes, if that is the case, could apply to Torah as well. That there are three kinyonim of Torah. Kesef, and Bia. Now this idea per se is not originally mine. The comparisons to Kesef, Shtar, and Bia are my own. But the theme, and that there is such a comparison possible, is from the Matei Moshe Talmud of the Maharsha. Goes back a long time. What is the comparison that is Torah to Kesef? And I will tell you what he says, because it's beautiful. But I'm more interested in what I have to say, not because I'm saying it. Maybe there's a little bit of that as well. But because it's specifically relevant to the Talmidim of this yeshiva. And the lives that you lead, and the complexities and difficulties that are associated with it, as far as learning Torah is concerned. It's not an environment for learning Torah 24/7. And you have to be able to negotiate your time, negotiate your commitments. So I'd like to share with you in the next 15 minutes, Kesef Sharadi. What is the king in Kesef, Lagabe Taira? So the Rav once said on the Pasuk, Vayiten al Moshe kachaloso ledaber ito. After HaKadosh Baruch Hu finished speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu, he gave him the Luchos. And kachaloso, which should have been with the Vav, is without a vav, it's choser. And you could read it kekaloso, like his bride. And Chazal tell us that just like a bride has 24 different kinds of ornaments, I guess in those days that's how they counted them, so too the Torah has chavdalet kitzvei kodesh. But the Rav said something very beautiful. He said, you know, when we learn kicha kicha mizdei Ephraim, there's a big problem. How do you manage to connect and relate a kinyan, which is for a sudden, which you purchase, which you acquire, which you own, lock, stock, and barrel? You can do with it whatever you please. You want to dig ditches? Dig ditches. You want to plant trees? Plant trees. You can do with it whatever you want. You can bury people. How can you compare that to an isha that you don't own at all? What is the kinyan in an isha has been something that's been elaborated upon by achronim and achronim for ages. But the bottom line is that it's really a very strange concept. Because it says, ki yikach, kicha, kicha mizdeyacha. Of the three kinyon, and this is the strangest of the three. So the Rav said, in Kiddushin, in the longness of Kiddushin, you see an incredible idea. That sometimes you can have a maisa kinyon that you borrow from elsewhere, but it has its own chalos. It has its own expression in how it results. What are the consequences? Because in kesef, especially according to the Sma, who says that it's kesef piron, you're paying for something. You started to pay, so that's why you own it. If I bought it, I acquired it, I own it. Can't say that about a wife. So about a wife, it's a formality, basically. There's a certain thing that you have to do. And after you do that, all of a sudden she's forbidden to everybody on the pain of Eishes Yishchai and Nisa. And she is mezumenes to you so that she should be your wife. So the Rav said this exactly, the story with Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shamayim, and Chazal tell us that no matter how hard he tried, that he was like a malach lechem le'achal v'imayinu eshasisi. Moshe say he didn't sleep. He didn't do anything except try to embrace the Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving him, and he failed. And finally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to him b'matan. Gave it to him as a gift. The Rav said this is exactly what they mean, that it's like a cow. No human being, just by virtue of the fact that he's human, nothing else, even the Vilna Gaon, even Rabbi Akiva, even the Ramban and the Rashba, doesn't matter, Rashi and the Ramban, no human being is able to encapsulate the Torah. And that's exactly why, says the Rav, you have that famous expression, Yogata Umatzes. Which of course is very problematic. If you struggle and strive, then you have acquired, you have created, you have built, you have done, you have accomplished. Why do you say matzasa? Matzasa is a mitzia. A mitzia, you do nothing. You walk in the street and there it is. You found it. So why does it say yogato matzasa? He said, because it's exactly it. No matter how much yogato you're going to put in, it's always going to be a matzasa. Always, even from Moshe Rabbeinu, from the very outset, from the get-go, it is a umatzasa phenomenon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to give it to you, the matana. So the kinyan kesef, for me, has implications of exactly this idea. That when it comes to acquiring Torah, in the final analysis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you a present. Which has, I think, tremendous implications. Because a person could ask himself like this. I have a certain amount of time. I have a certain amount of strength. Long days, I get exhausted. I have other things on my mind. The environment anywhere in this world is never pure and perfect. And how am I expected to ever have anything to do with something called Kiddush? The story is told about a little boy who was learning Gemara, and his father had a daughter who was omedes al haperich. It was time for her to get married, and he didn't know anything about learning at all. Zero. But his children were learning, and his children, he wanted a ben Torah for a son-in-law. So he went to the Rosh Hashiva and he said, I want your best boy, I'll do anything I can to keep him learning, just give it to me. So Rosh Hashiva singled out one of the top talmidim, a real talmid chacham. And they got married, and Baruch Hashem kept his word, and he took care of him, and supported him. And one day he walks out, and he sees that he's learning over a Gemara. And he asks him, what is it that you're learning? So he says, Baba Kama. So the father-in-law, the Hamaharis, starts screaming on the top of his lungs, Mekach Toz, you fooled me, you cheated me. He's talking to the Rosh Hashiva in absence. He said to Rosh Hashiva, look what he did to me. He told me to get the best boy. So he says, what's the problem? What got into you? The son-in-law asks his father-in-law, as he says, my 9-year-old is learning Bava Kamma. So he answered him, it's an entirely different sefer. Which, of course, the father-in-law took to mean sometimes different books have the same title. But, of course, it is an entirely different sefer, because if you're 9 years old and you learn it, and you're an established Talmud Chacham and you learn it, it's an entirely different sefer. I want to ask you, this established Talmud Chacham walks into the Dalet Amos of the Vilna Gaon, and he is lost. So what is all that learning? It doesn't count for anything. It's like the 9-year-old. It's an entirely different sefer. The answer is yes and no. Because each one of us has our chelik. And every step of the way, including the Vilna Gaon, is a matana from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when you have these limitations, artificial or real, limitations of intelligence, limitations of capacity, limitations of this flesh, not everybody can sit. I have a lot of trouble sitting myself. Not everybody can sit. And all of this conspires against the person. And he's supposed to encompass a Torah, he's supposed to learn a Masechta, he's supposed to learn Shas, he's supposed to know Bavli and Yerushalmi. And you get very overwhelmed. So you have to know from the very outset that the Kenyan Kesef says that the formality is there, but the Kenyan is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives it to you. And it's true, it has to be Agata first, I have to admit it. There's no such thing as a Kenyan Kesef, which is Pachas Mishava Pruta. You understand what I'm saying? You can't say, well, I did this and I did that and I was Yotze. Now, Ribbono Shel Olam, it's your turn. You give me the Siyata Deshma, you make it happen. After all, it's a Matzah, so what's the difference how much you got? Because there's no such thing as Yogata until Yogata. Yigiya is a word, it's not a joke. But if a person so desires and he puts himself into it, all the obstacles that he has conspiring against him, they fall away. And the chalos comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like by Yanisha. It's the semblance of Kesef Karka, but it's not Kesef Karka. You go through the motions, and the chalos happens by itself. That's Kenyan Kesef. Let me tell you what Kenyan Shtar is. Kenyan Shtar is covenant, contract, bris. We have commitments that we can't break. Person is married, he has commitments. In fact, Kenyan Kiddushin really says that. Before we actually live together as husband and wife, we are bound together in Isurin. And she is also Akuli Alma. There's a contractual responsibility to Torah. It's not something that I really. There's a bris of Torah. There's a covenant of Torah. Torah is not just a subject. It's not. I don't mean it, the secular subject. It's not. It's not a religious subject. Torah is a binder. Torah is a responsibility. Torah is a connection to Hashem, and that's shtar. I could spend a lot more time on shtar, but I wanted to get to bia. What is bia? What is Torah that you have an idea of bia? So I'm going to tell you something that I found very fascinating. It's something that I discovered when I was much younger in the Rambam, and it's something that I've been selling to Talmidim and to Talabatim, whoever I can get my hands on. This idea. Person walks in the street, says the Rambam, and he sees an Erva, and he's attracted to the Erva. Particularly Bizman Azeh, she's 3/4 naked, and he's very attracted to her. She's beautiful. So what does he do next? How does he get out of the clutches of that Yetzer that has suddenly embraced him and asked him, look harder, think more about her, do something. So what do you do? So I consulted the Rambam. I mean, I learned the Rambam, the last halachas of Hilchos Isurei Biyah, where he speaks about the Isurim of Yichud, not to be alone with the woman, and so on and so forth. And he says something very interesting. What happens if somebody has these mashamas? So the answer is, you steer away, you veer from those machshavos to machshavos of Torah. Had we stopped right there in the Rambam, we would have said, well, change the topic, like a cold shower. Thinking about this, stop thinking about it, and it won't bother you so much. And what can you immerse yourself in that will keep your mind very busy? Of course, Torah keeps you very busy. It's a hard subject. It requires a lot of thinking. So it's logical. You think about X, you don't want to think about X, you can't help yourself, think about Y. If you think about Y, you won't be thinking about X. That's not what the Rambam says. The Rambam adds the last words, he adds the following. Shehi ayeles ahovim v'alaschem. He's quoting a pasuk that the Torah is a beloved. In the bottom line of it is that you think about the other one. Think about the other one. If you start thinking about this woman, think about the other one. And think about how beautiful she is. Now, of course, the visceral response to everybody would be, well, you know, that's very nice and it's a very lofty madrega. But that's really what the Rambam is saying. We have to reach the madrega that Torah is so beloved to us. That it's almost a physical entity. And she is a she, and she is very beautiful. And if you think about her, you stop thinking about her. Shehi ayeles ahovim v'alaschem. In her love, you should be always obsessed, always preoccupied. You'll notice an interesting thing. What is the love of Torah? It's not the love of Torah, it's the learning of Torah. Who tells you to have love? The answer is no, that's what it is. It's a love affair. Now, it's very interesting. You start from a yogata to a matzasa, and then you have a contractual responsibility for one way or to another thing. So I'm going to give you all a birchas kayim. Because I already arrived at that level. And I'm not saying that in vanity. I'm saying that it's inevitable. It's inevitable. You give yourself over to Torah enough, and all of a sudden you find that you are madly in love. And that in fact, I don't think there's one... I like to eat. I enjoy a good piece of everything. But there isn't one food that I can summon up to my imagination, prepared in the most succulent and most delicious way, in the most perfect environment, cooked to perfection, that could give me the physical, visceral pleasure of understanding one single Tosfos of Shas. That's a fact. The whole experience of learning, when no one's around, and you don't want to make a fool of yourselves, but in the middle of the night, to somebody who really, really understands the love of Torah and how connected he is, he's going to take a Gemara and start dancing around the room with the Gemara. And when nobody's looking, he's going to give it one big, massive kiss. And it's very interesting. You know, Simchas Torah, the Rabbi Yerucham was the Mashgiach of the Meir Yeshiva of Europe. The famous Rabbi Yerucham was. Rabbi Yerucham was a very great man. A man who was almost in total control of his instincts, which is an unbelievable thing to say. He was a balabas over himself. He said that as far as he is concerned, if he had a Talmud, and the Talmud had to be home for one day a year, and the choice of those days was one of two days, Yom Kippur or Simchas Torah. Which day does he give up being in yeshiva? He gives up Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur and yeshiva, you know what that means? Yom Kippur and yeshiva in the mirror. He says Simchas Torah is more important. And the truth of the matter is that if a person dances with the Torah as a Ben Torah, what he's saying is, I can hold my beloved. I can hold her. Incredible idea. That's Kinyan Dina. That's not a Kinyan Dina. So you have all these three Kinyan. Kesef, which is the
concept that what you do does not produce the results, but the results happen anyhow. So you can borrow a concept that exists in a different dimension, karka, and you can apply it to an isha, kidika. You have Torah that is given to you by HaKadosh Baruch Hu because it's impossible for you to make that kinyan happen and achieve the results. The results come from elsewhere, they come from Hashem. But that's a tremendous nechama, because if that's the case, all I have to do is do the effort, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you will succeed no matter what. You ever see those cartoons where the fellow is walking on the diving board, and he's walking and walking, and then he just keeps walking because he doesn't have that he's not on the diving board anymore. But that's all of us. We are all in that matzav. But every once in a while we catch ourselves, wait a minute, we're off the diving board. And then you think, I'm going to fall. That goes from Sivan, I'm going to give you the Torah. I'll give it to you by my Torah. You won't fail. And the contract, the responsibility that we have to Torah, it isn't up to us. We're born as Jews, we're created to learn Torah. We have an obligation, we have a contractual responsibility. And finally, the level where a person is so enamored with Torah that it almost becomes real physical attachment. Matzah Isha, Matzah Tarifish. That's tremendous, that's all.
Momentarily.
That's lovely. Yeah. You see, I kept my word.